All right, this third hour is a monster, but in a good way. Keegan Bradley next. Dan Wojcicki at the end of the hour. In ATP, still ahead. We just had Jake Olson. We had our beef segment. I gave away a golden ticket. I denied another golden ticket. We had a beef segment. All of that in the first 2 hours. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, then you know that Rocket can. 1-800-636-8686. Also, the Jim Rome podcast. And that's coming up after the program. P.J. Fleck is the head football coach at Minnesota and now a best-selling author. He will be joining me then. All right, before I get into this hour, I want to start with a telephone call. There are lots of different ways to approach the smack off. How to listen to it, how to watch it, how to react within. And I'll give you some advice on that tomorrow. And then what to do after the fact. Now, what's unusual about this year, and it's just the way it shook down, right? There's no agenda. There's nothing that we're trying to work up. Hey, well, man, why do you always do that? You're always doing that kind of thing where you're stretching out your back like that. You're an old man, Rit. It's really distracting. You're doing those calisthenics. That calisthenic that you do in the back row when I'm trying to host this show. I've never actually referenced that, but it's always aggravated the hell out of me, man.
Can't do it, man.
I lost my flow. All right. So there are things to do during the show, and there are things to do before the show, and there are things to do after the show. And the way it sets up this year, this is not any kind of agenda that I have. It just set up like this. I'm leaving after the show. We're not having a show on Monday. At least I'm not here on Monday for the show. So we don't have that kind of recap. That's not to say that there's not a recap. I'm doing that because my vacation time falls this time of year, and I want to make sure to get this thing in. There is a recap show. It's the best of its kind. Stucknut recaps the Smack Off every year. There are three people who do this on Stucknut. One of them is on hold right now. These guys will recap the show for hours, and they do an amazing job with it. Stucknut, as you know, Stephen Houston is the official historian of the program. He knows as much about this show as probably I do, and frankly, probably even more. One of his guys is Hedstrom Bacon from Detroit. He is one of the hosts of the recap show. And I want to bring him in momentarily so he can remind you all exactly where to find it, what goes on, and how it's done. Bacon, what's up, dude?
Hey, Jim. Really appreciate the airtime. Thank you, sir.
You got it. So for those who do not know, talk to me about the post-show, the recap show. What goes down? How long have you guys done this? And where can they find it?
Right, so post-Smack-Off show right at the top of the hour, right after the Smack-Off. It's going to be, you know, 3 p.m. Eastern. It's our 13th annual, so we just want to keep the party going. What you need to do is just go to stucknut.com, the homepage, and you'll have a direct link right there. We broadcast it through Twitch and also through YouTube. And there's going to be a live chat as well, so if you want a live chat, you have to sign into Twitch. But all you got to do, go to stucknut.com, homepage, it's right there. We've been doing this for 13 years, and that's basically it.
Oh, dude, I love that. That's a big number. 13 years, you guys are not playing. You've got various platforms. So who calls into this generally?
Well, generally, we want the clones to call in. We want their reaction. But at the same time, we're also going to get, you know, the Smack-Off participants calling in. I mean, last year we had Kablin Asian, we had Caleb, Sarah T, Mike and Indy. We even had the champ, Leff in Laguna last year. So you never know what you're going to get. We really want to get the clones that don't usually call in. We give them a voice, and we'll do this for a couple hours, as long as we can.
Okay, you say you normally don't know what you're going to get, when in reality you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get Mike and Indy complaining that he got robbed.
Pretty much, and we try to keep him under about 15 minutes for his call.
All right, so how long? What's the longest version, the longest recap show you guys have done?
Last year was the longest show. It went 4 hours and 20 minutes. We took about 33 calls.
I love it. I love it. So really quickly, again, Bacon, if they want to listen or they want to participate or both, how do they do so?
Just go to stucknut.com. There's a direct link right there. If you're on Twitch, if you have a Twitch account, if you've done that 33-character password and all the rest of it, go to Twitch link and look for Stucknut. or go to YouTube, and it'll be live on YouTube. Look for Stucknut there. But the easiest way, just go to stucknut.com. The direct link is right there, and we'll take it from there.
Listen, I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for everything you've done for the show, and especially on that day. Let me finally ask you, you know, you sound great. You're coming off really, really well today. How about Pooldock? I mean, you got to admit, he did murder his segment last year. Why is he not calling in?
Well, actually, Steve called last year. Pooldock called in 2 years
right.
ago. Pooldock just wasn't available this year. I got to hand it to him, though. He did hand me over his oxygen tank, so I just took a couple of hits off the O2.
Oh, boy.
So that's why I'm doing really good. So,
nice
but again,
job.
Really appreciate the airtime. Good luck to all the callers. Have a good time on your vacation. We'll see you when you get back, and we'll see everybody on Friday.
You got it, Bacon. Nice job. Headstrong Bacon from the D. He, Pooldock, and Steve run that thing. So they do a Stucknut post-Smackoff show, and it ran more than 4 hours last year. And not only did the clones call in and react accordingly, he says a number of the Smackoff participants, including the champ, call in and talk about that. And now more important than ever, because I'm not going to be here on that Monday, I will be in Northern Wisco. So be sure you take advantage of that. Love those guys. They do a really good job. Stewards of the Jungle. 1-800-636-8686. So I gave away a golden ticket earlier today. You think I'm talking out my ass, right? You think that when I say that, like, sure he will. Sure Rome will give away a golden ticket. I will, and I did. It's not too late. You can get one up until tomorrow. Now, we are impacted this hour. Keegan Bradley's coming up at 20 past. Dan Wojcicki is coming up at 40 past. I've got to find a way to jam in an ATP. Now, do you have any way to confirm that? All right, so this guy says he's Bobby from Brooklyn. Bobby from Brooklyn tells Hawk it's the first call he's made since the year 2000. That would mean that Bobby went 21 years between calls on this program. I don't know if it is or isn't. Alvin, do me a favor. Go back first and find some sound so we can compare these two things. Bobby in Brooklyn was a legend of the program in the late 90s. And when we first started doing Smackoffs, there was nobody like him. And we didn't really have that kind of East Coast affiliation back then. Bobby in Brooklyn really did separate from and stand out from everybody else.
You know, Jim, it's been 2 long years since I first entered this here jungle of ours. It's been 2 long years since I first coined the phrase that this here jungle is concrete, baby. As concrete and rock hard, just as my streets back in Brooklyn are. And just like that old saying goes, I too know that Romy wasn't built in a day. So from that, I have styled myself. And I have taken my time. And with each and every call that I've made in the past 2 years, I've been laying down brick after brick after brick. And I've built myself a large, strong brick wall to separate myself from the rest of all these punk-ass clones. And now it's time...
You have to understand back then, man, this guy was the original bully. Never mind your Laguna Beach bully. He was a Brooklyn bully. If, in fact, he's the guy. I don't know. Hawk wouldn't know. Hawk's been here 5 years. This guy says he hasn't called in 20 years. Let's find out. Bobby in Brooklyn, allegedly, reportedly, apparently, maybe. Bobby, what's going on?
Jim, my man, what's happening, brother?
Dude, I think it really is you, is it?
Jim, it's me, my man.
Bobby, what's going on? Where you been for the last 2 decades?
Jim, I've just been doing my thing, man. Doing my thing in Brooklyn. But listen, Jim, it's been 21 years since my last call, and it's been 25 years since my first call to the jungle, Jim. And that first call, man, you guys were talking about rats and the Florida Panthers and what are they going to do. And I set it up, man. I told you what we used to do with the rats in the warehouse that I worked in back on the docks in Brooklyn. All legit, all straight up, all true, my man. So after that call, Jim, you told me, you said, Bobo, anytime you can call this show. Anytime. Jim, today is a good day as any to be anytime. And you know what, Jim? Tomorrow is a good day to be any time, and Friday is a good day to be any freaking time. I will run it from wire to wire, Jim. The only problem I see, Jim, is one, I haven't been watching much sports lately, my brother. I'll be straight with you, but I'm sure I'm going to be able to figure that out. And problem number two, my man, back then we had a four-hour show, and you let me run the whole segment, and that smack off, you let me go from wire to wire, and I was cruising. Now, we got a three-hour show, so I don't know how you're going to get me a segment, Jim. Maybe I'll just start off in the beginning of the show and take it right to the end. Let's go right through commercial breaks. I ain't going to stop, and I'll finish it strong, and I'll be in that winner's circle waiting for you, my man. Now, the only other thing I got to say, Jim, is it's been a while, and I appreciate everything. Even that last 1998 smack-off call when you inadvertently went Steve Harvey and gave it to my man Carbone, that's all cool. No problem. I don't mind coming in second to Stevie. I know he was running around taking calls, making calls, and it must have been crazy there. But I'm ready to go, Jim. I will catch you soon. Thank you again. It was good catching up, and I will catch you later, my man. Out.
My dude, Bobby in Brooklyn. First off, that was him. That was 100% him. You have to understand, like, when you're somebody in my position and you've done this 27 years, I remember all the things. I remember all the people. I remember everything on the way up. I remember those who made a big difference. And Bobby in Brooklyn was a legendary figure on this show. You have to understand that when he was calling the show, the network was not what it is right now. We didn't have hundreds of affiliates. A guy like that stood out. Bobby from Brooklyn. He's like, you said to me, Jim, my man, you said, Bobbo, you can call anytime you want. If in fact I said that, and I'm sure I did, I'll stand by that. You give that guy a golden ticket right now, Alvin. Now, Bobby. You're not going to get an entire segment. I can't guarantee that you will go first and wire the field. In terms of following sports the way you used to follow sports, it's not a prerequisite. Ask the BIC. He's better than anybody, arguably. And that's not where he lives. That's not what he does. But that is an old school caller. And you might be thinking, Rome's not giving away a golden ticket. Now he's giving away two. I mean, in a way, he's not even a golden ticket guy. He is an OG. He is an original. He was one of the first. You know, people like that, Terrence, Bobby, they helped make the smack-off what the smack-off is today. Bobby, so understand this. I know you haven't been around, so you might not follow this. Back then, you were guaranteed to get on the air because you were one of the guys. You were on that short list. You haven't been around here in 20 years. That does not guarantee that you'll get on the air Friday, Bobby. But you are invited. You are welcome. If I can work you in, if you can play your way in, you can be on Friday. Like Jim in Fall River. Haven't seen or heard from him. I would stick him in the field. Terrence, if he were to call, I would stick him in the field. Bobby in Brooklyn for the first time in 21 years? They're kind of grandfathered in, right? Like, who's next, man? Adam from PB? Lance from La Costa? CeCe, the original lady clone? All these people from the Scrub Saturday show that I remember? Wow. Boston Finn? Bobby from Brooklyn. You've heard that soundbite from him back in the day. That was him for the first time in 21 years. All right, man, knock me on my ass. Who else? Anybody else coming out of the woodwork? Some of these people know. Some of these people go back far enough. This guy writes, holy bleep, Bobby from Brooklyn. What a reset. War the fourth hour. Exactly. Mac in Bear writes, Bobby in Brooklyn is still a legend. Carl in Prescott, wore the return of the four-hour show. This one says, holy crap, and there he was. A rising tide lifts all boats. The show with him is better with the likes of Bobby in Brooklyn. Tim Patterson. Rome, doesn't watch sports. Bobby in Brooklyn is my new favorite caller because I now know somebody that knows less about sports than me. Signed, Hawk. Yeah, Bobby was an icon. I mean, Bobby was in there trading with JT back in the day. I mean, these were the guys that were getting it on. Doc Mike, Bobby in Brooklyn, JP, Kerwin in Riverside, Eddie the Dope. The best days, man. Beaks, living as a back alley Brooklyn dumpster bum apparently counts as Bobby doing his thing for the last 21 years. Come on, Beaks. Hey, Pimp, Bobby hasn't made a call in 2 decades and wasn't able to listen to the show. Because Homeboy's been doing like 20 in Rikers. Jason Mann gets credit for that. Look, I don't know where he's been or what he's been doing, but he came around. It's good enough for me. Let me get out. I could keep going, but I've got Keegan Bradley coming up next. Oh, Bobbo in Brooklyn. That's incredible. What a great day. Wall Street's been lying for years, saying that 7% is a good return on our stocks. It's just not. They've also been trying to tell you that trading is so hard that you need a financial advisor. You do not. There are real people making legitimate dough, 30, 50, even 100% a year, on their money trading stocks, even when the market is rough. Carnivore Trading is an anonymous team of elite Wall Street strategists. They are legends among Wall Street heavy hitters, and now they've gone a bit rogue. They're allowing everyday folks like you, like me, to see and then mirror their explosive trades. If it sounds too good to be true, try it out for yourself. Carnivore will let you see the trades that they're making right now for free. I did it myself. Go to getourtrades.com, use our promo code ROME, and get 2 weeks for free. If you do join, Carnivore guarantees you'll get 5 times your subscription fee or they will double your money back. How do you beat that? So go to getourtrades.com, promo code ROME. GetOurTrades.com, promo code ROME. See the website for guaranteed terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome live in Southern California. Reaction to Bobby in Brooklyn making his first call in 20 years is wild. I'll have some of that for you a little bit later on. As promised, though, right now we are joined by a PGA Tour golfer, a PGA champion, a 4-time winner on the PGA Tour, a 2-time member of the Ryder Cup team. The Travelers Championship gets underway tomorrow at TPC River Highlands in Connecticut. Coverage on the Golf Channel and CBS both. Keegan Bradley is my guest. Keegan, nice to have you back. How are you?
Thanks, brother. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. So you are back in Connecticut as well for the Travelers Championship this weekend. In the past, we've talked about what that tournament means to you. How good does it feel then to be back at a tourney where you finished second in 2019?
It feels great. I love coming back to the Travelers. I'm from New England. It very much feels like coming home. All my family, my friends get together, and it's just good to be here, and the Travelers does such an amazing job, and it's great to have fans back. You know, we went so long without fans, and having no fans, especially at this tournament, was a bummer. So it's good to have everybody back.
You know, it seems kind of self-evident, but to that point, how much of a difference does it make, and how much of a difference do you notice when there are galleries and the fans are back on the course?
It makes a big difference, especially for us players, especially when you're in the last handful of groups. There's a buzz, there's an energy. Sometimes, you know, one putt, one loud cheer can kind of get you moving a little bit better, just like any other sport. But it's, especially at a court tournament like this, it's kind of known for loud and rowdy fans. It makes it for a much better tournament to play in, to watch, I would think.
Keegan Bradley joining us, no doubt. Listen, I know you're thinking about this week, but if you were to go back 2 years, when you finished second, you had 4 straight rounds in the 60s. What do you remember about that week and that performance?
Well, I just remember being super dialed in, and I putted really well the whole week, and I came out on Sunday with I think I was 5 or 6 back, but I'd never played other than a Ryder Cup with a crowd so on my side as I had that day. And when I went out and was playing, it was just, I felt kind of what it must have been like for Tiger and Phil every time they play. Everybody's cheering for them, and I felt it, and I fed off it, and it
I used it to my advantage, and it's just, it was so fun. It was one of the more memorable weeks, even from some of the wins, just because of the fans and how much fun it was.
That is cool. Keegan Bradley joining us. So the field is expected to include the likes of Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, and more. I mean, it seems to me it would be pretty easy for a lot of guys to take the week off after the U.S. Open. So what is it about this tournament that attracts you and so many other elite players?
It's the travelers. And Andy and all the guys that run this tournament, the transformation this tournament's gone under, even since I came out on tour, it's turned into one of the premier events. And what they just treat us players well. The course is great. I think it's fun to come play in a market like this. We're coming to a New England town. There's no golf up here, really, professionally. So it's an exciting place to come. And they just do an incredible job treating us players.
You know, speaking of transformation, let me ask you this. Earlier this week, I was having a discussion with a guest about how different golf is now in 2021 as compared to 2008, the last time the U.S. Open was played at Torrey Pines. Kevin Streelman, who was the runner-up here last year, makes the point that, quote, the 50th player in the world today is a whole nother level than he was in 2008. Charlie Hoffman had a great point. He said, quote, the fields are deeper, guys are hitting it a lot longer, they're drinking more water than beer. End of quote. So, how deep are these fields, and how competitive is the game right now?
Well, I came out here in 2011, and I was just talking the other night about how much better all the players are. Like, when I first came out here, there was a contingent of, older guys that were out here, and they were playing good, making money, winning. There isn't that whole age group is gone out here on the tour, late 40s, mid to late 40s. Those have been all replaced. And then there's these younger kids that every single young kid that comes out hits it, has a 185 ball speed, it pounds it. There isn't any guys that anymore that kind of play like a dink it out here and let's manage our game. It's let's hit it as hard as we can. And they're ready to go. And it's mostly what I think from watching Tiger, and these guys are just ready to go. And it's so tough out here. Every single week is so tough.
Keegan Bradley joining us. I can appreciate that response. So let me ask you this. How much of that competition and that depth, how much of it is size, power, and driving distance? And then how much of that is now about the mental side of the game?
Well, I think what you're seeing now is, I think back in the day, a lot of PGA Tour players, the only sport they could play was golf. Now you've got guys like Dustin, Brooks, and these guys that are just athletes. And I think that athletically they're able to hit it further. I think the technology of TrackMan and being able to launch monitors to figure out the exact pinpoint this equipment to get it perfect. Before, you'd hit a driver and you'd look and you go, oh, it looks pretty good. Now you can go, oh, it's 200 RPMs, not enough spin, we got to adjust it. And I just think everyone's better.
So where are you at right now? For instance, you were top 20 at the PGA Championship this year and at Wells Fargo. Before that, you were right in the thick of it on Sunday at the Valspar. What have the last couple of months been like for you?
They've been great. I hold myself to a level of play out here, and when I'm not playing to that level, it's a bummer. I get pissed. So to have a chance to be back up here, for us, making the Tour Championship is such a big deal because it gets you in all the majors, all the WGCs. Not to mention you got a shot at winning $15 million. That's a goal for everybody on the tour each year. And I'm 35th or 36th on the list, so I'm top 30 get in. So right now there's a major push. We got to get to that tour championship.
So, Keegan, let me ask you this. It's like you get to a certain point in your life where things change and we all evolve, and you try to find balance, and you try and find that competitive edge and that balance. You were making the point that when you shot that opening round 64 at the Valspar, you said the best part of the day was actually hanging out with your wife and your kids after the round. So when you're looking for that balance, how much joy does that bring you to be around your family?
Well, you know, when I first came out on tour, I had no clue what having a family was like, and I had no idea how amazing it would be. And I had one thing on my mind, and that was shoot the lowest score. And I think when I'm in contention, when my family is out, it's such an advantage I have over other players that don't have families, because I have a 2 o'clock tee time as opposed to sitting around waiting all day. My son Logan, or Cooper, my youngest, they don't care that I'm, but they want to go play with some trucks or play Captain America or, run around. And it really keeps my mind off of what I'm doing. And I always feel like when they're around, good things are going to happen.
That's cool. Let me ask you this really quickly. You're a big sports fan, obviously, and you know the thing about golf is there's nobody for you to pass the ball to. Like, yes, you have a caddy. Yes, that's an important role. But in a lot of respects, this is not a team sport. It's on you. It's all on you. Nobody can bail you out. Is that something you love about the game, or is that something that can kind of beat you down and be exhausting about the game?
Well, beat you down, for sure. When you have success, there's no one else, it's you. But when you're down, you can't pass the ball. I watch in these NBA playoffs, these guys are going to the line and they can't make a free throw. And that's where they can't pass it, and that's what we are dealing with every shot. You know, every shot coming down the stretches, we're at the line with everyone staring at us, and there is no one else to help. And I enjoy watching that because that's really what it's like. You know, we're at the line with no time left and everyone's staring at you and you got to make this shot, and this, your teammate or your caddy, no one can help you make that shot. And that's kind of how I equate it to, is you're at the line with no one around.
So, like, you're focused on yourself and your thing. I get that. Like, there's some guys, like, you know how it is in some sports. There are guys that want that ball so badly. They want that shot. They want to be at the plate. They want the baseball in their hand. When you see John Rahm knock in, rolling those two putts that he did to win the way he did last weekend, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Man, he's got it. You know, there's certain athletes, and certainly in golf, there's certain guys who have it, and you just know it right away. I played with John when he was an amateur at Phoenix, before he had even turned pro. And I played with Brant Snedeker, and we both were like, all right, we're going to see a lot of this guy over the next 20 years. And, you know, there's certain players that, you know, they can make that putt, or they can hit that fairway on 18. You know, and there's some guys that can't. It's great players, too. And, you know, John Rahm, watching him do that, it gets you excited to go out and practice golf and play. Because anybody, you know, golf, you play your way anywhere. You know, there's no one going to put you in the game. Like, you got to do it yourself. And watching him do that, it's motivating, I think, for everybody out here.
Keegan, finally, I think that's fascinating what you just said, that there are pros. There are pros that can do it, and there are pros that, frankly, can't do it. What's the difference between those who can and can't? Is it learned? Are they wired for it? Can you learn it if you can't do it?
Well, I think you certainly can work hard. Everybody, all these young kids that want to play on the tour, they ask me what to do. I say, you got to work twice as hard as everybody. That's basically what I had to do. I grew up in Vermont with winter, too, so I had, you know, 4 to 5 months of no golf. So when I had a chance to, I felt like when I was not working, somebody was, and I was getting worse because of it. And then there's that factor of, all right, you know, who can grit their teeth and do this? And I think in golf, it's arguably harder than any other sport, because in basketball, football, baseball, you can try harder and play better. In golf, you cannot do that. You'll play 50 times worse. It's not reactionary. You're thinking between each shot. And you know, I think there's certainly an aspect of working hard to where you get into situations that you've practiced. But then there's that other part of like, hey, you can do this and let's do it. And the guys you see on TV on Sunday late, those are the boys that can do it.
In other words, like, one of the hardest things is to try easier. It's a really difficult thing, right?
Yes. So, I say to basketball players, it aside from the free throw thing, is, you have to take the ball. You have to inbound the ball. You have to. You're going to have to hit a three. You got to walk down to the 3-point line, stop, dribble a few times, and shoot it. There's no, here's the ball, pass it, shoot. It's, you know, there's a lot of downtime in golf, and that can be sometimes the toughest.
Well, finally, King, like to that point, it's kind of like when you had that triple bogey on 15 on Sunday, and then you come back with that amazing drive on 16, you had to make that walk from the 15th green to the 16th tee. Is that not what you're talking about? And exactly what did you tell yourself?
Yeah, I mean, that walk from 15 green to 16 tee was the biggest moment of my career. And I had no idea at the time, but I kept telling myself over and over in my head, don't let that define you here in this tournament. Like, we've played for a week here, and I just wanted to hit one good drive. And that's sort of what you have to do, because you can't, in golf, you can't think, all right, I got to birdie this hole and this hole. It's like, all right, let's take one step here. Let's hit this fairway. let's hit this good shot here. And like you said, you got to try less. You got to let it come to you more than any other sport.
He is a PGA champ. He is a four-time winner on the PGA Tour, a two-time member of the Ryder Cup team. My man, it is so good to get caught up with you and have that conversation. It is a big event. It gets underway tomorrow at TPC River Highlands. I'm talking about the Travelers Championship. Keegan, great to have you back. Good luck
Thanks,
this week, Mike. And always good to talk to you, my man.
Go Pats.
Go Pats. Go Pats, you know, could be their year. Could be their year. Man, they've had a really aggressive offseason. I love talking golf with him. Keegan Bradley. All right, when we come back, I've got Dan Wojcicki scheduled. I do have a little bit of time for any other reaction. Gotta admit, man, that Bobby from Brooklyn call was a holy bleep moment. It really was. Other than Terrence, who would you go back far enough with where you'd be like, holy bleep? The Ask the Pros segment is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Still getting reaction to Bobby from Brooklyn making his first call in 21 years. Romy, this thing just keeps getting better and better. You just don't know who's coming out of the woodwork. Andy in Portland. Hey, Rome, no way. No freaking way. Bobby, a.k.a. Bobbo in Brooklyn. 209er Faithful, quote, wow, Bobby from Brooklyn? Finally. And at Mock Moda,
finally.
Oh, hell yeah. That was the Bobby in Brooklyn. Shut it down for reals. War old school. As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who covers the Lakers and the NBA for the Los Angeles Times. He was a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day. Obviously, a good friend of the program. He is Dan Wojcicki. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Jim, I am still shaking my head at what I saw last night in Phoenix. A real weird basketball game. Real crazy ending.
I knew it, my man. I knew you would be. That's why I wanted to call you. So there's a lot to go over, but why don't we jump right into the good stuff? How much did you enjoy Scott Foster's work in all of those official reviews late last night?
You know, it's funny. One of the great, great joys of the NBA bubble was getting to know the refs in the league, because it completely changes how you watch basketball if you know them a little bit, right? And you know just sort of what that job is and entails. And it's just like watching those guys walk off the court at the end of the game last night. I was just like, I just hope they had just like a sixer of like Coors Light waiting for them. It's like those guys could use a beer. It was just like, what a marathon, like every possible call, every possible thing that could happen did. And, you know, you get put into these situations where you have to referee in slow motion somehow. And it's impossible. It's not possible. And I think, you know, Scott is a lightning rod because he's always in these positions. But the reason why he's always in these positions is because, you know, you talk to people in the league about this. They insist that he's one of the best. And I can tell you that I got a text last night from an NBA coach, not thrilled with the officiating, and the one person that coach didn't mention in the text was Scott Foster.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, yeah, I would say that they probably did need one or six. I know that I needed one or six when it was over, but it was quite a game. Let me just skip ahead of this because our time is kind of limited. When you see Paul George and the way he's carried the team and how well he's played, Dan, the fact that he missed a couple of free throws down the stretch, if you had to guess, and it's only a guess, how much of that was about fatigue? And then how much of that was pressure of the moment? And then does that stick to him?
I mean, I think yes, yes, and yes.
Right.
Ultimately, right, is that, like, the fatigue was definitely for real. You could watch that throughout the game, right? Like, that he was just sort of a half step slow on everything. He wasn't attacking the basket. You know, really wasn't elevating on jump shots. Like, he is a guy who these last four games has had to kind of do everything for the Clippers. And there's wear and tear to that. We saw that with Kevin Durant. When you have to do it by yourself, it's very, very hard. I think the pressure of the moment, was real. Being in there, and especially after he missed the first one, you could feel sort of the pressure. And then I think, you know, lastly, like, it's, yes, this is going to stick to him. It is unfair, but this is what happened. You know, we will not remember that Paul George put them ahead twice in the final 30 seconds of that game with baskets, because that doesn't matter when you don't make those two free throws. You know, like, he had a chance to ensure that if, like, they were going to get heartbroken, that it wasn't going to be it couldn't be fatal, right? If you're up three, like, the worst that can happen is you go to overtime. You know, and it would have been bad to go to overtime, but that's the worst. And they had an opportunity, and, you know, for lack of a better word, he blew it.
So what do you think that leaves them? I mean, given that they had that game, well,
yeah,
they – I mean, given that they had that game, right, and they had to have that game because, you know, that Chris Paul is coming back and Kawhi Leonard's status is unknown, how do you think they show up in Game 3, and in particular, how do you think Paul George shows up in Game 3?
He's responded very well to this stuff, you know, traditionally, right? Like, this is a guy who got killed when they were down 2-0 to the Mavericks for not showing up and played much better the remainder of that series. I mean, I think betting against the Clippers at this point is pretty stupid, down 2-0. I mean, we've seen them come back twice already. You know, we know that they're a very good team when it comes to adjustments. You know, you can kind of look at both of these games, actually, as sort of coin flips at times. And, you know, so, yeah, they're right there. Now, you're right. Chris Paul seemingly will be back, and that'll change things. But, you know, they've played really well without him, too. They're better with him, but, you know, it's not like they've been a walkover in any of these games without Chris. So, they're going to play a huge game on Thursday, Jim, and they've played a bunch of them this postseason, and they've typically performed pretty well. And so you kind of got to go with history on it. Now, look, when the time comes, or if the time comes where they're not able to answer it, I think the fair question will be, it was like, you know, did they reach their limit? There's only so much they could do, and they did it six times, and they couldn't do it a seventh.
Sorry to jump in. I was going to say, it'd be unfair for me, Dan, not to mention the Suns. I mean, they've won 9 straight playoff games.
So good.
What have they shown you over the course of the playoffs, especially when it comes to toughness, both physically and mentally?
Devin Booker is a strong dude, and he is one of the most physical players in the series. And I think the moment certainly has not been too big for him. And the thing that I keep thinking about every time I watch them is, you know, they draft DeAndre Ayton first in a draft that had Trae Young and Luka Doncic, and somehow maybe they got it right, at least for the moment, like, which seems insane.
It's incredible.
Definitely not something you would have said, you know, 3 months into DeAndre Ayton's rookie season, definitely not something you would have said last year. So his sort of ability to sort of dominate in and around the basket has been amazing, and Monty Williams is a steady dude. It's been a really incredible run for them. I mean, they've maybe been the hottest team since basketball restarted last year in the bubble, right? Like, they go to the bubble, they're undefeated, they build up all this confidence, they add the right vets, they add a star in Chris Paul, and they were great all season. You know, one of the most consistent teams in the league. They've got a great offense, they've got a great defense. You know, it makes sense that they're in this position. Now, look, have they benefited from playing teams with injuries? Sure. Guess what? That always happens. And that should not be a slight on them. It's great that basketball is sort of back alive in Phoenix, because for years that building was a ghost town, and it's been electric in there. And it's been exciting. I mean, like, just good on the Suns for figuring things out, because that organization was not in a great spot like 4 years ago.
They are now. He covers the Lakers and the NBA for the LA Times. He was a panelist on our daily TV show, of course, back in the day. Good friend of the program. That's how you close a show. Dan, appreciate it. Thanks so much. Great job.
Thanks, Jim. Be good. Have a great week.
You too, my man. Dan Wojcicki. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Incredible day today. I knew Wednesday would be strong, but even I didn't know it would be that strong. When you consider who called, who got a golden ticket, who didn't, who showed up for the first time in 20 years. We had a great beef segment. Excellent interviews with Jake Olson, Keegan Bradley, Dan Wojcicki. I've got episode 179 of the Jim Rome podcast pushing out shortly with PJ Fleck. And then Smack Off Eve. Tomorrow is our last day. Then the event itself. So make sure you check that. Thank you very much for listening. My thanks to the XR4TI. Having a big walk-off week. We're not there yet. Finish strong. It is the most important day of the year. It is Smack Off 27 on Friday. Make sure you are clear. Again, if you have a watch party and you want us to promote the watch party and it's legitimate, let us know. They've got one at Tap and Bottle in Tucson. They have one at the Lorelei Inn in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Just keep us posted. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.